This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
To get another reaction, we go to the phone lines now to our friend Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, which means, Mike, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. And if I don't like the answer, we might hang up on you. What was your reaction to the Will Campbell pick?
I mean, I expected it. I totally expected it. It wasn't like this caught us by surprise. I don't love it.
Thank you, Mike Giardi.
No, well, this
seriously,
is...
Seriously, I'm not kidding.
No, people are having a hard time with this. Like, they think that I'm like assailing Will Campbell's a football player. I'm not. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to end up being a guard. I think history tells you he's going to end up being a guard. There's no one in the history of the sport, going back whatever, as far as mock draftable goes, 1995, with the hand size, wingspan, arm length, that's made a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro team at tackle with the measurables that Will Campbell has. So you're saying, basically, if you think Will Campbell can be that kind of player, that he's going to be a one-of-one. I generally don't bet on one-of-ones. Like, that's a risky proposition. He could still be a really good guard and be a good football player for you. He's one of your best five already. Perfect, wonderful. But, like, let's be realistic about what the draft was and what they ended up having to do because of holes that they couldn't fill for years.
Hey, Mike, what are your thoughts on the workout Mike Vrabel had with Will Campbell last week? I mean, it felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Will Campbell was their guy, but reportedly Mike Vrabel went down to Louisiana and just had a personal workout with Will Campbell. What does that mean to you? How do you view that event?
That's a good question, Ted. So Mike has been doing this forever. It's like people are like breaking this down like it's news to us because he's your coach, but obviously the NFL Network, I covered him. He loves to put on the blocking shield, whatever you want to call it, the pad, and he likes to get physical with guys that they're interested in the draft. He did it with Skoronski, who, you know, was their first-round pick kid last year in Tennessee. Like, he doesn't practice. Like, he likes to feel, as you say, he wants to feel their strength. He wants to know where it's coming from. He was a player in the league like you, Ted. He sort of understands, like, oh, you know, this guy hits differently, or there's a little power there that's a little different. And then I think that Will Campbell put him on his ass was probably like the cherry on top of the sundae. Like, I love everything about this guy, and he had no problem putting me on my ass. Like, I think that probably just like was the final the nail in the coffin of that's going to be our pick.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're a hypercritical negative media guy or a bad fan in my case, Mike, just because you have some questions about it. Like, I honestly wonder if some of these sort of, you know, Vrabel intangibles or character desires may have trumped their belief in his ability on the field, or that he may be a better guard than tackle. But, you know, it is what it is now, so we hope that things work out for him. But I do just want to retroactively ask, the way that the board was falling, where would you have gone at four?
I mean, I was a Jalen Walker guy, and the more I talked to people, I was and was told to go back and rewatch Mykel Williams, the more I felt really good about Mykel Williams too. Like, I think, as I said before about Walker, I think he, you know, people look at him and he has short arms as an edge guy or a linebacker, but his speed is outstanding. He's the same high character guy. Like, you talk to people about this draft and they'll tell you, like, there's four like unassailable guys in the first round. It's Hunter, it's Walker, it's Campbell, and it's Emeka Buka. Like, no one has a bad word to say about him. They love football. They, you know, they work with their teammates, like, everything. They're everything you want them to be. But I thought Vrabel would have a plan for a guy like Jalen Walker, and that he wouldn't have to be just an edge or just a linebacker. He'd be a weapon where you line him up all over the place. And that's what I would have done. And I think what you saw, and I've saw some people write and sort of dispute this, like the way the board fell, they could have come back up and got the tackle. They could have gotten the Josh Connell if they liked them. You know, obviously they chose Campbell, and that's the decision. But, like, you can't wait. You can't wait. No, they could have. They could have waited, and they still could have got Connerly if that's what they wanted to do, or they still could have come up and got Simmons, but they chose to take Campbell at four, and now, you know, they've got the three picks here in the second day, and we'll see what they do with that or if they're willing to move around the board at all.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. So, Mike, what do you believe Will Campbell has to do or be for this to be a successful pick? I think we all agree it's not a great draft, and you filled a massive need. Does he have to be a career tackle? If he's a Pro Bowl guard, if he's a starter at guard, like what's the floor of his potential that says to you, okay, that was a fine pick?
Well, if he's a guard, then he better be Quentin Nelson or Zach Martin. Like, you can tell me what you want about the quality of the draft, but you know and I know, and this is where your scouting department and your GM and everybody gets, this is what they're where they make their money, is you go find me the guy. Find me the guy that's going to develop into a star or has that star potential. And I think when you're picking at four, you don't pick safe. I mean, you'd like it. You'd like it to be Joe Alt, right? Like, great character, could play left tackle. You know, like, that's safe, but he's also going to be awesome.
Yep.
That wasn't this draft. So find me the guy that was going to be awesome. And that's what I would have done. So I say Campbell, if he goes to guard, then that's what he's got to be. If he stays at tackle and he's Matt Light, I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, I can't. Well, I would say this only because Matt Light was a second-round pick.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's a totally different thing. Like, we all Matt Light. If he's Matt Light, he's awesome. Well, yeah, but Matt Light was pick 30, whatever, or 40 or 50 or whatever the pick was. Will Campbell's pick number four. Like, the first draft that Mike Vrabel has. You know, like, let's. If it works out, and from his character and his answers and everything, like, good Lord, he's awesome. Like, you know, just as a person and the kind of teammate you want. But still comes down to, as Mike Vrabel said, good players. You got to have good players. That's the most important thing. So we'll see.
Always fun talking to Girardi about football.
Yep.
Love it. Love it, Mike. I'm just curious, change directions here a little bit. There were some other interesting storylines from last night, in particular Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted. Mm-hmm. And I find that kind of the trade between the Jaguars and the Browns to be fascinating. You can, I think, make compelling arguments on both sides for why they did what they did. But what was one of your favorite storylines from last night's draft?
I think the Jags thing is really interesting because, you know, new head coach Liam Cohen, new GM 34-year-old James Gladstone, and the way Gladstone talked about Hunter after they made the pick, like, you only get very few chances for a guy who can, you know, change the way you do things and can change your team, and this is a guy, and I believe he can be that guy. But to me, it also reeked a little bit of, we're the Jacksonville Jaguars and nobody cares about us. We got nothing going on. When we had the first pick and we got Trevor Lawrence, he never became what we, you know, hasn't become what we hoped he was going to be. We hired Urban Meyer. That was a disaster. They did that draft, by the way, that year on a freaking an aircraft carrier in Jacksonville. Like, it was this big thing and everybody was there and it was like, oh my God, new era, Jacksonville, this is awesome. Urban Meyer's awesome. And, you know, he didn't last a year. Trevor had a terrible year, kind of got a bounce back with Doug Peterson, but that has sort of, again, not gone in the right direction. So it's like, to me, part of this is, I don't know what you want to put, 25%, like, business. We need to sell jerseys. We're, you know, they're doing renovations on the stadium, so they're going to be playing at the University of Florida or in Orlando. Like, we need people to come to the game. We need to be relevant again, and we're no one cares about us. And having Travis Hunter, if he's as good as we think he can be, that'll make people care again.
A lot of talent still on that board, Mike Giardi. I got a couple of guys I'm hoping the Patriots take. They could be. I got some on the line, some on defense, some dynamic playmakers. So with that second-round pick and those two-thirds, what would you do, my friend?
It'll be interesting to see what happens in front of them. You know, six picks into the draft, so there's some really, you know, I think Ezeraku felt like he was going to be a first-rounder, and there's just some concerns a little bit about his overall, not enough sand in his pants. You know, he's a little light, so I think that kind of pushed him back here into the second round. Luther Burden, who could be the best receiver in this draft, or he could be someone that, you know, gets people fired.
Yep.
Because he's you know, sort of comes and goes when he wants. He'd be someone that, you know, do you want to add that type of player into your room after you added Javon last year and then the Polk thing didn't work out? Do you want to go more safe and say, like, hey, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Nolan, the two kids from Iowa State, the receivers, like, solid dudes, you know, both have the potential to be really good players in this league. Do you want to go that route? But I think those positions are open. I think because of their roster, again, they did some nice things in free agency. They still got a lot of holes. So if you told me they wanted to double up on offensive line, go for it. You want to draft a receiver? Go for it. You want to take an edge? Go for it. You want to take a defensive tackle? Do that too, because as I've talked about a few times, like, it's great that Barmore's working out, but you just, they need to have a little bit more insurance there. So I think they can go in a variety of different directions, and this should truly be best player available at 38.
Mike, we talked to Tom Curran yesterday, and some of his comments recently about Elliot Wolf have been borderline bullying, verbal bullying in the media.
Tom wouldn't do that.
He would. He has. And he basically said he wanted Elliot Wolf to stay out of the way. Basically, the general manager should manage to stay out of the way.
Just to make sure I always have water in my glass.
Right.
Here,
you know? Last night, you know, we got the video from the Patriots war room, and there he was front and center making the phone call and then handing it over. Elliot Wolf, and just anything you took away, maybe things you've heard, sort of the process that led to this pick and the process that will lead to the picks the next 2 days, I guess the power structure in the war room.
I mean, as I've said from the day one, I think it's Mike's team. I think Mike's getting what he wants. I think it's interesting that if you look at tomorrow's media availability, we'll be speaking with Ryan Cowden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Generally, you don't get the guy behind the guy
right.
in the press conferences. We get Elliot Wolf tonight. We'll get Cowden tomorrow. It just, you know, I think they're trying to appease everyone at this point. But you know and I know that eventually, unless these two guys fall in love with each other in this shotgun marriage, eventually it's going to be Mike Vrabel with Ryan Cowden and Stretch, and that's going to be your front office.
Oh, you got more time?
Yeah, you got time for another one.
Are you sure?
Let's go.
Oh my gosh! Okay, that's very exciting. Okay, do you have a thought? Like, I feel like, Mike, there's starting to be some people that are starting to say now. Nobody really wanted to go out and stick their neck out and say this before the draft, but Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted in their first round now. Stephen A., Nick Wright, people are starting to say part of what's hurting Shedeur is his dad's, you know, influence in being there, and that maybe, you know, teams do not want the Deion Sanders experience. Do you think there's some validity to that, and why do you think Shedeur Sanders didn't get drafted in the first round?
I think there is some validity to that. Like, if you're, for instance, Brian Daboll, who I know is a very confident guy, known him for a long time, but, like, I don't know, you bring in Shedeur, you don't play Shedeur to start because you have Russell and Jameis. You're 1-5. You know Deion's going to say something. He's going to say it publicly. And do you want to have that? Like, I'm trying to keep my job. I'm trying to run my football team. And now I got some guy in Colorado making comments about my backup quarterback who I need to develop and isn't ready to play. Like, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. But I think the real big thing here is he's a third-round quarterback. And if you want to give him the quarterback bump, he's a second-round quarterback. And for whatever reason, whether it's the media machine, a lot of people didn't want to push back against Deion. It's almost like a fear factor there. Like, my kid's going, you know, my two guys are going in the top three, like that whole thing. But I think the football people evaluated the quarterback and said, hey, late round two, round three, he makes sense. Round one, top five, what are you, nuts? His three biggest games last year, the three best opponents they played, were his three worst games. Year before, they weren't a good football team. You know, like, so there's good tape out there. There's some bad tape out there. He's someone, I think, the people that really dug into him, and I didn't have to because in Patriots, that wasn't a thing for them. But the people that really dug into him said, like, he needs to develop. He's a guy who needs to come in and sit for a year, maybe two. And then what's the ceiling? Because he's not an awesome athlete. He doesn't have a huge arm. He doesn't throw well off platform because he doesn't have the huge arm. He is accurate, and he's incredibly tough. The kid's toughness is off the charts. But, like, what's the ceiling on that player? He's not. You're not winning because of him. You might win with him if you build the right team around him. So, in some ways, feels a little bit like Mac Jones. You know, like,
yeah,
different, same. You know, like, not the big arm, like that whole thing. So, I think that's really what it came down to. Is by and large, football people. You know what? If he was awesome, well, this will have to deal with Deion. He's not awesome, so they'll let it slide. And look, he could end up being a good value pick for somebody, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, if he lasts into the fourth round. But first round probably never really made sense, and it probably hurt the kid. You know, now it looks like, oh, he fell. Well,
exactly.
Maybe he was always there, and the media hype train is what caused him to feel this way.
All right, he's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the next couple days of more NFL draft action, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Always a pleasure. Safe travels back, boys.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks, bud.